Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Shadarel. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about the difference between psychology and Kabbalah. We'll try to understand what are the uses of the one and the other in order to make our life much, much better. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah. Today we'd like to talk about two methods, the purpose of which is to help man. Today people feel that things don't always work out, that they behave in a certain way that blocks them, that many times harms them. There's a world that's full of anxieties and so on. There are many things that we'd like to change. And psychology today is the central tool that helps a person to deal with these things. And I'd like to define what psychology is. Psychology is the science of behavior that examines the mental processes experienced by a single individual. The purpose of psychology is to explain, describe, foresee, and control one's behavior and examine a person's mind, ways of thinking, emotions, and how do all of these things influence him in order to allow a person to live a better life, to better understand himself. And I'd like to start with an opening question of what are the advantages of psychology the way you see them? And just to add that, of course, you're not here as a psychologist, but as a Kabbalist who has a much broader view of things, and this is the perspective from which we'd like to look at things. So what are the advantages of psychology the way that you see them? First of all, I'd like to say that Baal HaSulam, that is the greatest Kabbalist that we have since the times of the Ari and to this day, he lived in the beginning of the 20th century. He truly praised psychology. He called it materialistic psychology, meaning everything that comes from healthy research, meaning that a judge has only what his eyes see. If we get different results from it, then we can rely on that and continue with it. But it's not that we add different theories to it, assumptions that are unrelated to research. And therefore, we respect psychology because we study man and we try to build a picture of man's behavior according to the, let's call it, inputs and outputs, where man is in the middle. What do you mean? Whatever influences him, that's the input, and the way a person responds, that's the output. And man himself, he's a black box. We don't know who he is. And so, after many such actions and attempts, we can then talk about man's behavior, about different types of people, about what we can usually get as a result of the different influences on man and so on. Meaning, this is psychology. What's good about materialistic psychology is that it says we don't know what man is. What we do know is what are his responses to the different influences that we exert upon him. Of course, this doesn't give us the understanding of who man is, what goes on inside of him, inside his mind, his psyche, where are all these things all together. Today, with our modern research of the brain, and in general, we're starting to think differently, that what exists in man doesn't exist inside of him at all, but it's outside of man. And man is like a modem that receives different influences and responses as if from above, from some kind of a cloud, like today we have in the world of internet, some kind of cloud of information. That's it. Now, besides this cloud of information, we also see a person's psychological behavior, that it is multifaceted. And the main thing that we see when studying man is the changes, change of states. I can't say that this coffee is so and so, and it doesn't change. This is how it is. Or some machine, or even an animal. I can say this cow is a calm and tranquil cow, and that this one's really aggressive. So this one's calm, and this one's aggressive. Okay. But I don't understand, why is this one suddenly different? And in man, it's very conspicuous, meaning that even though that there's a black box here, but what goes on in this black box being man, we don't know. And therefore, if we approach a person correctly, then some of the things we understand, some we don't, we can use them. And somehow psychology tries to help man. This is actually its role. If so, then what is the difference, the way you see it? Today, there is psychological research that says that man's behavior isn't random. It tries to understand the laws according to which a person acts. Maybe they have partial success in specific fields. There are also many approaches, like you said, where each perspective claims that there are different things that influence and activate a person. But on the principle level, what is the difference between the laws described by psychology and the research done by the wisdom of Kabbalah that also, as I understand, studies man? What's the difference in your eyes? The difference is that psychology, it studies man on the level of this world, while he's still alive, on the animal level, while he's still alive in his physical body. Whereas the wisdom of Kabbalah studies man's soul, which is man's inner part, and how it appears through a person's physical, psychological, mental, and also spiritual behavior. It sees them on more levels. Yeah. So what are the levels again? Kabbalah studies man on all levels because it starts working with an ordinary, simple person who starts taking interest in his soul and really accompanies him until he comes to the final correction of his soul. Going back to psychology, and maybe we'll see the differences in a moment, what does psychology develop in a person? You're saying that Kabbalah studies a person's soul. What does psychology study? What does it develop in a person? Psychology develops in a person the ability to know what are his simple urges, motives, that activate a person And it gives them a simple kind of knowledge from life's experiences about what usually goes on with a person. And what does Kabbalah give? If we run a comparison between these two methods, there's barely anything similar, because you talked about the soul. Psychology doesn't talk about the soul. It doesn't deal with the soul at all. It deals or studies a person's system of behavior in this world, which is not the soul. This is the animate degree in man, and the speaking level in man, that's the soul. That this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah studies. And what is the essential difference between these two forms of research? First of all, only man himself can study his soul with the help of education that he gets from a sage who's a Kabbalist, and he works on himself with this method called the wisdom of Kabbalah. This is how he discovers his soul and the extent to which it needs correction. How can he correct his soul? How to discover the upper force of nature, actually the whole of nature inside of him, meaning to extend his vessels of reception from being able to only see this world to a point where he is able to perceive the entire spiritual world that does not depend on a person's life or death in terms of his corporeal body. And this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah deals with. So it's actually a higher degree than that degree that psychology studies of trying to get a picture of things. So, what or how does psychology contribute to the development of mankind? The contribution of psychology to mankind is in that it prepares a person for a higher kind of research, the one that the wisdom of Kabbalah talks about. How a person nonetheless starts understanding that he's not just an animal, even though that he lives by his instincts, as psychology shows, but that this life that's included of the demands and needs of the body and a psyche, and he wants to reach higher levels than the animate degree that he's living on, that all these are directed only in order to control his life in each given moment, in order not to endanger his life, and to fulfill himself with the different small beastly pleasures that he has. Whereas if we're talking about a person's psychology, then even though that there's a vast part there that deals with fulfilling his desires on the levels of food, sex, family, money, honor, and knowledge, he also has additional inclinations of the psyche, where he wants to know, maybe, what am I living for, why, what's the meaning of life, and so on. And these inclinations, they bring him to the wisdom of Kabbalah. And what are the boundaries of psychology? Where does it start, and where does it end? Where can it help? And psychology can research man's inclinations, man's desires towards food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge. Meaning all the very basic, fundamental things. Things that are apparent to the eye. Yeah. Materialistic psychology at least does not deal with things that are not apparent to the eye. It tries to deal with the unknown, and then it's not psychology anymore, that's philosophy, and there's nothing true about it. How can they know anything about it? And this is really that place where there's this black box, like you put it. There, they only have the ability to do what they feel like and write many researches and doctorates, but that's it. From what point can psychology no longer help man, where it detaches from the practical corporeal life, where it no longer works with a person's input and output, where a person's like this box, like we said, there's an input, an output, entrance and exit. If we examine one and the other and we study the responses versus the influences that are applied to man to that box, then that is science. If not, then it's something that's detached from reality. Okay, so going a bit more into details, some of the things that psychology wants to do is to change a person's behavior. Is there a certain limit, boundary? What can a person change in his behavior and what can't he? Depends on what direction. So where, what? Actually, a person is completely unlimited. He can kill everyone. He can also eat everyone, like a wild animal. He can benefit everyone and love everyone, meaning from one end to the other. A person has no limitations. And therefore, there is the wisdom of Kabbalah that can explain what are the forces, what are the motives, where we actually are. Can a person eventually control his behavior? This is actually the purpose that the wisdom of Kabbalah explains to a person, that to the extent to which a person can control his desires, his thoughts, to that extent, it is possible to open reality to him, the reality of where we are, because otherwise we're closed inside this reality and we feel it in a very restricted and limited way. Today, people really try to change their behavior in order to succeed more in life, and we see that success is very limited. There are things that are successful, but also many things where success is very limited. What does a person have to know in order to change his behavior? As I said, a person's unlimited, but to extend his behavior, this is something that can only be done if a person, first of all, equips himself with a good attitude toward mankind. This is a basic condition in order for us to be able to control our behavior. Yes. Even if afterwards he wants to behave in a bad way, that's impossible. Then he's corrupted from the start. So what? It means to be good in order to be bad? So he can't... This is an interesting psychological approach. We're talking about a person's behavior, that this is what he decides, seriously. It's not that he does business or that it's false or anything. Today, people want to change their behavior because they have personal interests. They want to succeed. Yeah. And success isn't always about. To succeed means to cheat everyone, to have things your way. Many times that means to succeed. Today, people want to have the ability to control their behavior so that they'll be able to decide whether this is the way they want to deal with others in order to succeed. So what's the question? Can a person control his entire spectrum of behavior in all aspects? No. What can he handle in terms of his behavior? Being bad. This he can do, there he can be in control and decide that this is what I do. Yes, because this is our nature. As it says, I have created the evil inclination. Being evil, being bad is not a problem, only I have to check that I won't get beaten up or something. But I always have the desire and the mind for it, and it all works. So this isn't where our challenge is. The challenge is in doing good. I have no desire to do good. No desire for it. But if this is what I think, then I'm lying to myself. If you can explain, because many times people think that they are doing good things for other people, that this is their motive. Yeah, it's like you said, it's called to bestow in order to receive. What do you mean? To bestow, to give them something good in order to get double in return. So I'm willing to do good to others if it pays off. Otherwise, you can't do anything good for them. Furthermore, your nature will not allow you to do anything good for anyone else unless you see some kind of benefit from it. And previously you talked about the wisdom of Kabbalah. You said that it does allow me to control my entire spectrum of behavior. That's something else. The wisdom of Kabbalah brings you the force of good from outside of you, and as if gives you this injection of the force of good, and then you can do good deeds, good things, benefit others. You really get like this infusion, and can act in a way that benefits others. Otherwise, you can't. So, this is another difference between psychology and the wisdom of Kabbalah, that psychology can teach a person how to. Psychology acts inside our evil inclination, inside our ego, and helps a person to be a better con man eventually. With himself and with others, because it doesn't add the force of good to human nature, whereas the wisdom of Kabbalah, it adds the force of good to a person, and then he can do good deeds more and more and more. It depends on the extent to which he will receive that force of good. What do you mean by good deeds? To the benefit of other people, to the benefit of his environment. Psychology also tries to help a person change his patterns of thinking. What are the boundaries of this on the psychological level, and what can the wisdom of Kabbalah add in this respect? Boundaries. There are no boundaries. By causing something good to our environment. By this, we extend our vessels of reception. We start seeing the world transparent. Suddenly, behind our world, emotionally, internally, we start seeing additional forces, systems that control our world, and we no longer need different assumptions or theories, but we practically, tangibly see what's going on with us and what will happen with us. So you were just talking about the wisdom of Kabbalah. Yeah, that gives me a kind of transparency. It broadens your horizons, and you accept the world, you perceive it in a broader way in terms of time, space, and motion. You start feeling how reality acts before it materializes in this world. You as if see the future, and it also reveals a broader reality to you in terms of the present. And what will be, meaning you start seeing the past, the present, and the future in a broader way. But this is on condition that within this framework, you think to the benefit of others. Not like psychology that helps us to better get along compared to others. Why is my perception limited now? Because you're bad? You're thinking only about yourself. Is every person bad? Every person, as it says, I've created the evil inclination, we're all egoists. What does it mean to be bad? that I'm thinking only to my own benefit at the expense of others. And this is what limits my perception? Yes. Okay, in order to transcend these boundaries, what do I have to change in my behavior? To do the opposite, to think to the benefit of others at my own expense. And then there's transparency, a person understands himself, he fully sees himself, that black box that we talked about. Will it become clear? Of course, everything that exists in us in that box will be clear to us. And how do we behave, and how we have to change ourselves, and everything. What psychologists dream about, really. It'll all become revealed. You said that the condition in order to start opening the boundaries of our perception is to think about the benefit of others at my own expense. Why does it have to be at my own expense? Why can't it just be to the benefit of others and to my own benefit? Because this is how nature is built. There can't be plus without a minus. If there's more here, then there's less there. Like in a closed system, that there's a zero-sum game going on. Exactly. So, in regard to this improved human being, the wisdom of Kabbalah, it wants to make an improved human being out of a person, 100% improved. And what will happen then? He works in everything and anything only to the benefit of the whole of reality, the whole of mankind. And how's that related to the soul? That then he feels how much he identifies with the Creator, the upper force. What is the Creator, the upper force? That is the upper positive force. In our world, there is only the negative force that acts in us. And here we discover the positive force that already exists in us. And then we're included of the good and the bad. So, an improved human being is someone who works only to the benefit of the whole of reality, and by that, he feels the whole of reality. He's really in the entire reality, knows, understands, attains. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.